Have you ever felt like the sky was falling on you and the world was coming to an end? What are you going to do when the world crashes? You know what I'm talking about, don't you? You're talking about those times in your life in which you're just sometimes ready to throw up your hands and say, it's all over. What is the use about all of this? You know, you ever have that time when the world crashed, when somebody turned against, when you felt like everybody turned against you? You know, somebody had been your friend. You know, the time I'm talking about whenever everything just going rotten, and then on top of all of that, there are those who turn against you. You know, those are the things that sometimes happen in our life. What about whenever you look at where you are and when you look at where folks that are not living right and they seem to be doing better than you are? You ever felt that way? You're trying to live right and do right and as working hard as you can, serving God the best you can. You just don't seem to get ahead. Here's a man that doesn't even love God and he seems to prosper, and you think, what's wrong? Well, the world's upside down, you know. I'm trying to live right, and even those who are not trying to live right, you know, they seem to be doing better than I am. Or what about that time in your life whenever those people you had great confidence in and you no longer have confidence in them? You know, the heroes in your life, who has not in their lives experienced having somebody they had on a pedestal, and then they found out that they were not everything you thought they were, and your world just seemed to crash. What are you going to do spiritually? What does God say to us in the Bible about what we ought to do whenever the world just seems to turn upside down? What about whenever you've lost your job, whenever there's financial troubles? And there are many in this congregation whose jobs are threatened. Some who have already lost their job and their financial problems. And you think, what am I going to do in the midst of this world where everything's just going wrong? I just keep trying to live right and do right, and everything just seems to go wrong. And I stand here right now, and I look at you, and I know some of the things happening in your life, and I think, well, he or she's thinking, he's talking right to me right now. It's funny what goes through your mind when you're preaching. You start talking about everything's going wrong in your life, and you start talking about some of these, and I'm sort of reading what I hope's in your mind. You think, well, he must be talking right about me. No, I want you to know, I'm talking about us. I'm talking about the reality of the world in which we live, where oftentimes nothing seems to go right. You know what I'm talking about? Like when there's been sickness, and when there's been death. What are you going to do? What message does God have for us whenever everything seems to be going wrong in our lives? We're trying to live right. We're trying to do right. But man, all of a sudden we go to the doctor, or some loved one of ours goes to the doctor, and the report that comes back could not be much worse than what it is. What about that loneliness that we have? When we walk away from the grave of those individuals that we have loved so much, and the world is just crashing around us, what message does God have for us? What message does He have for us whenever the future looks so bleak and there's not really a whole lot of hope? You know, here we are, we're filled with despair, and we've been trying to serve the Lord, but man, oh man, when I look out there, well, that expression, all hope was lost, is used in reference to Paul when he's on board that ship sailing to Rome, and it's been 14 days, and there's been that storm, and they're right in the middle of the storm, and Luke says, and all hope was lost that we'd be saved. You ever have that in your life? Have you ever arrived at that time in your life in which you thought, you know, I don't know how much longer I can stick this out? Seems like everything that's happening in my life is turning bad. How on earth how on earth am I going to make it? And then I prayed about it, and I prayed and I prayed, and God just not going to answer my prayers. You've been there? Does this describe, hopefully not your life right now, but does this describe the way you felt oftentimes in your life? So I want us today to talk about when your world crashes. There's some lessons that we need to be aware of spiritually. First of all, when things are not going right in our lives, we need to get ourselves ready, because it's an opportune time for Satan to destroy us. Satan understands this. And had it not been for Job's fidelity and devotion to the Lord, Satan had it all figured out. And had the events that came in Job's life come in the lives of others, you and I need to understand that our weakest moments, that's the time when we're most susceptible to the temptation that there is around us. Sometimes there are young people whose parents don't have any confidence and any trust in them. They're trying to live right and do right. Sometimes there are husbands who are trying to live right and do right, and their wives don't have any confidence in their devotion and fidelity. Sometimes there are wives whose husbands are so critical of that they feel so unloved. Don't you and I recognize that it is at a time like that that we're most vulnerable to the temptation that comes into our lives? You stop and think about it. In that story in the book of Job, everything's going right in his life, and then disaster hits. What did he lose? Here in the book of Job is a vivid illustration of the lives of many individuals. And let's just put some brackets right here, parentheses here, and point out that Job, as far as we know, never read the first chapter of Job. Job never knew what was happening in the background in his life, as far as we know. We know about the conversation in heaven and the conversation between God and the devil. But Job is here on this earth, not privy to the things that you and I readily understand. And then all of a sudden, his world is ready to come to an end. He's lost every earthly possession he's had. He's lost his own children. There, the security that he had in his job and in his money, it's all gone. The security that he had in the devotion of his children, it's gone. Everything that is good in his life is gone. And all there is that nagging wife who is standing there saying, "Go ahead and curse God and die." I want to ask you, how susceptible is he to trial and adversity in his life and to temptation to sin whenever his three friends come? These individuals who in the past had been those who had stood beside him, they were there and they were making accusations against Job. How vulnerable is Job to temptation at a time like that? You and I need to understand that it is oftentimes at our weakest moments that Satan comes into our lives. Whenever we're ready to throw up our hands and saying, "What's the use?" then expect that roaring lion who walks about seeking to devour us to throw us some meat of temptation to feed our souls. Get ready. But on the brighter side of that, whenever the world crashes in, we need to understand that we need to make God and the worship of God the focus of our lives. You remember when David's son was dying, that baby was dying? You remember how fervently he was praying to God? And do you remember, by the way, that God did not answer his prayer? You and I need to understand, here David is, and as far as we know, he's fervently praying for the life of that child, and God does not answer that prayer. And he's so much pleading with God that he's in grief, he's not eating. And when that baby dies, do you know what he did? You know what his servants expected him to do? They expected him to collapse and give up and say, "What's the use? If he's crying this much while the baby is sick and at the point of death, what will he do when he finds out that baby is dead?" You know what he did? When he perceived that the baby was dead, he anointed himself and went to the house of God. Folks, there's a message in that Old Testament story. When the world crashes around us, When we feel like that maybe God has abandoned us, the very place we ought to be is in the assembly of the saints. I wish we had time to look at those verses in the book of Hebrews that talks about that great day that they were seeing approaching, exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching, and the admonition that said to them that you consider one another, that you encourage one another, that you provoke one another to love and to good works, and not be like some who at the time of that adversity in their lives were forsaking the assembling of themselves together. The writer of the Hebrew letter said, that's the time you ought to be the most fervent. Whenever life is going wrong, that's the time you need to be most fervent. Satan is there. But hear the message. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And when the world crashes around you, don't you be that individual who walks by sight and not by faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7 says, we walk by faith and not by sight. When you're in the midst of the storm and all you can see are those waves that are crashing in the boat, despair. Then there's that glimpse of Jesus coming as he walks on the water to the disciples. And Peter says, Lord, if it's you, bid me walk on this water. And when Peter gets out, start walking on the water, the text says he saw the waves. And it is those times in our lives when we take our eyes off Jesus that the world that appears to be crashing around us, we no longer have any hope. I find it amazing that you and I need to understand that whenever the world seems to crash around us, that's the time we ought to praise God more. Isn't that remarkable? We've already talked about what David did. You know what Job did? Do you know what Job did whenever his world crashed around him? He said, naked came I into this world. Naked I'll leave the world. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And so whatever's happening in your life, when that time comes in your life in which you really feel with despair and you're ready to throw up your hands, let it be a time you praise God. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And so we put on the screen, trust him even more. Job, do you trust in God when the heavens are open and receiving all of these blessings? Oh, God is so good. God is so wonderful. And Job, when every bit of it is taken away from you, where are you, Job? God is so good. And yet, when despair comes, all we look at is at the problems. You know what we ought to do? We ought to let his words dwell in our hearts richly. At a time when we're more susceptible to sin, we ought to hear David as he says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. At a time whenever we're ready to lay aside all that is spiritual, that is the time above every other time that we need to open up the Bible and let the Bible speak to us at times like this. And so Paul and Silas in prison in Philippi at midnight in the inner prison with their feet in the stocks are singing and praising God. You see, whenever the world crashes around us, we need to let the Psalms and the hymns that we sing speak to us. I don't know what your favorite song is. Depends what's happening in my life at that time, I guess. But whose heart could not be uplifted in the midst of despair if the words of a song like, his eyes on the sparrow, And I know He cares for me. Or a song that asks the question, does Jesus care? The fourth verse, does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me? When my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks, is it aught to Him? Does He see? And when that time comes in your life, and that's the very sentiment that's in your hearts, and that's the words of the song, can you not be uplifted by the chorus of that song that says, oh yes, He cares, I know He cares. What do you do when your life is tumbling to pieces around you? You listen to God and you praise Him. Folks, we got to get the big picture. Here we are. Here's life. Here's what I'm seeing. All I can see are the problems that's in my life right now. Whether it's others, whether it's heroes who are no longer heroes, whether it's finances, whether it's sickness, whether it's death, whether it's the future, when others turn against me, that's the time I need to get the big picture. I need to get to the big picture when others turn against us, when the wicked prosper and you do not, when you're disappointed by your heroes, when there's a loss of a job or finances, when there's sickness or death, when the future is bleak and there is no hope, when prayers are not answered. What's wrong? I haven't got the big picture. All I've done is this right here. And whatever Paul's thorn in the flesh was, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and he besought the Lord 3 different times. He prayed, God, please, God, please, God, please, remove this thorn in the flesh. All Paul could see was the thorn in the flesh. And he's praying to God, God, don't you see this? Don't you see what's happening? And God answers saying, my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. Folks, the big picture. The big picture is that picture that's in the book of Revelation, where those individuals, we're in the midst of a tribulation, the worst tribulation there's ever been. Chapter 7 says they were at that very moment coming out of that great tribulation. Chapter 1, verse 7 to 9, John says, I am your brother in the tribulation. The worst adversity there's ever been. You know how the book of Revelation begins? I saw a door open up in heaven. And I heard a voice, John says, come up here. And here's a letter written to those suffering saints in those 7 churches. And God has a message for them. And the totality of that message is introduced and undergirded by what John saw in heaven. And what John saw on heaven was God was on the throne. Folks, that's the big picture. And when in our lives we're just looking, and that doesn't mean that that's not human nature to look at everything that's happening in our lives that's not going good, and we feel with despair about this or about that. We need to understand there's a door open in heaven that John went through, and when John went through the door, he saw God on the throne. And our awesome God is greater than anything that's happening on this earth in our lives. When the world crumbles around us, we need to understand that temptation is common to all men. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. You think you're the only one that ever had problems? When you're at your pity party because nobody else will come, you think you're the only one that ever has problems? I stand here and I look, and the little bit I know about the lives of some of you, there's not a section of this building I cannot look at without seeing people who are really, really troubled right now. And I don't know everything's in the lives of every person. So the reality is, it's not just the little that I know, it's the massive thing that everybody here and here and here and there has in their lives. And we are all in the midst of a life that is struggles. But God is on the throne. I don't know where I heard this, but it's a truth that's taught in the Bible. If I could see what God sees right now, if I could know what God knows, if I could understand what God understands about me and about what's happening, I would not change one single thing happening in my life. But you can't say that when all you're looking at is the thorn in your flesh, instead of seeing the big picture of a God who hears us when we sing and when we pray, "Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will." And the very things that molds us and shapes us are a part of what God was trying to say to Paul. "Paul, you may think you need this thorn in the flesh removed, but you don't understand how the thorns in our fleshes are tied to the grace of God." Here's a big picture. With faith, there's no way to lose. How simple, but how profound. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Take out the word world and put your thorn in the flesh in that verse. This is the victory that overcomes others turning against me. This is the victory that overcomes sickness or death. This is the victory that overcomes the disappointment when I've been let down by others. This is the victory that overcomes financial problems, losing my job. This is the victory that overcomes the personal sin, that private sin that is in my life and I'm struggling to overcome. This is the victory that overcomes faith. And so he sits on the throne. And he's still there. And when our Lord ascended into heaven, he sat down on that throne. He's the King's kings and the Lord's Lord. And he is Satan's destroyer. And he is the promised victory that you have in your life and the assurance of heaven. And so death is swallowed up in victory. And all of these material things that means so much to us, when they're burning with the judgment fire of God when the Lord returns, they won't matter one iota. All that will matter will be to hear Him as He says, "Come, inherit the kingdom that I've prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for you know, it's not in vain in the Lord. That's the big picture. And nothing will matter when we've been there 10,000 years, it won't make any difference how others treated us on this earth. It won't make any difference about finances and jobs. It won't make any difference about heroes that are fallen heroes. It won't make any difference about sickness or death. It won't make any difference about every one of those things that are the thorn in our flesh. It will make no difference because the 70 years on this earth compared to an eternity are just that long. And all that will matter is if we're faithful. All that matters, guys, is whether you're a Christian or not. That's all that matters. You want to get your world right side up, then you need to believe in Jesus. And you need to make a decision. I'm going to commit my life to Jesus. I'm going to repent this day. I'm turning my life over to the Lord right now. And when you've confessed your faith in Jesus, you can be baptized into a relationship with Jesus. And your past is forgotten. Your past is forgotten. And all that awaits us is a faithful life that will be rewarded by a crown of life. Be thou faithful unto death. And I will give you the crown of life. You need to make changes in your life. Won't you let it be known by coming to the front right now? As together we stand and sing. Will you come?